We continue our studies this morning in the book of Romans, and we're going to be looking at the conclusion of his introduction. The book of Romans, the first chapter, looking at verses 8 through verse 15, as we will be looking at the book of Romans, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, Lord willing, in the days ahead of us. Last week we looked at the first 7 verses. Today we will look at verses 8 through 15, the conclusion of his introduction. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far, in order that I might obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. We'll conclude that portion of the reading of God's Word here this morning. When I was 16 years old, living in the state of West Virginia, some of the members of my family, with the exception of my father, who would never go anywhere outside of the state most of his life, took our first trip to the beach. These were the days when men didn't travel much. Believe it or not, there was a time in most of our lives who are older when the word vacation was an unknown concept. No one took vacations. But as I was growing older, vacations become more common. And we decided that we would go to the beach. We had a friend who had a house there, who actually the pastor of our church. And he said it would be good for us to go there, and he would be happy for us to use his place for a few days. I still remember some things about that trip. I remember a couple of things. One of the things I remember, that I was the appointed driver at 16 years old. And as I said, my father would not go. And at 16, driving somewhere I'd never been was very scary. But I didn't let anybody know that I was frightened. Didn't think that was a good idea for my mother and my sisters. Also, I remember that as we crossed over the rugged mountains of West Virginia and coming down into the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, we crossed over Highway 11. I'm not sure even if Interstate 81 was completed in that day. But I remember distinctly that day, that morning, being a foggy morning, and as we crossed the highway, going in another direction, seeing a sign that pointed to Bristol. It said, Bristol, this way. I don't remember how many miles it said, but... And I thought, at 16 years old, I thought, that sounds like a nice name. And it sounds like a nice place to live. I bet it would be great to live there. I remember that very instant. You know, there's some things in your life that you never forget. Some small moment that just stands out. Little did I know at that time that I would spend most of the rest of my life in the Bristol area. If anyone had told me that, Larry, you will get married, move to the Bristol area, and raise three children and be a Presbyterian minister, I would have said, come on now. No way. You're kidding. I don't believe in omens or signs, but I'll never forget that moment. I didn't plan it that way. As a matter of fact, a number of the plans I made in life didn't pan out. Oftentimes I got frustrated because my plans did not pan out the way they were supposed to. When I graduated from college, I had a teaching assistantship at West Virginia University in mathematics, and I was on the PhD track. Even went to school there, graduate school, for not very long, but I started. And God hindered me. And within a few months, I was studying at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, of which my parents were, in some ways, greatly disappointed. Our son, our special son, the one we like the most, you know how that is, has graduated from college and he's at our state university. Those were the days when it meant something to go to the state university. Our state university. And he may even be a doctor someday. And I come home and say, Mom and Dad, I'm giving it all up. I'm going to some seminary in Philadelphia. And they, Philadelphia? Nobody from West Virginia goes to Philadelphia. Looking back on everything, God hindered my plans in a number of times, a number of ways. Little did I know that in the last 20 years I would be rushing to St. Jude's Cancer Center for Children with one of my children. Little did I know that I would be going myself to Mayo Clinic because I had an incurable disease that the doctors here said there's nothing, we can't understand it. We would advise you to go somewhere else. I never dreamed of the things that would happen in my life. I didn't plan them that way. And I remember the book of Proverbs. It says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Young people, make your plans. Be responsible. Try to find your calling in life. But don't be amazed someday when you wake up and you're much older and you think, I never planned it this way. I never planned to be in this job. I never planned to have married this particular woman. You know, I was going to marry this other girl. She was the one I thought that the Lord had really set aside for me, but that was not the one. I didn't plan it that way. You know, at 12 years old, you want to be a movie star. Every time you get up in the morning, you plan to be a movie star. When you're 30 years old, you get up and you plan to change diapers all day. You know, life doesn't always work out the way you plan it. Sometimes we are hindered from doing what we think we ought to do, what we think is God's will for our lives, and we end up doing something totally different in a totally different place in different circumstances that we'd ever thought. And the reason I say that is because that's the experience of the Apostle Paul in our text today. The Apostle Paul had made plans on numerous occasions to go to Rome. We see that in verse 13 He mentions it twice in the text. He says in verse 13, "And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you." I made my plans, but God hindered me. He says in verse 10, he intimates there the same thing. "Always in my prayers making requests, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you." If perhaps now at last. You know, I've been planning and planning and planning to come to Rome, but I never made it. We read more about his plans in the last portion of the book of Romans. If you'll turn there real quickly, the 15th chapter of Romans, verse 22. The 15th chapter, verse 22, he says there, "For this reason I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while." Paul never went to Spain. He never went to Spain. He made a plan. He made it as far as Rome. And there he died. God did eventually grant him his desire to go to Rome. Paul wanted to go to Rome. Oh, how he wanted to go to Rome. He had heard about their faith. He says, the whole world has heard about your faith. I mean, living as a Christian in Rome was a little different than living as a Christian in some little small town out in the farm country, you see. In Rome. You know, that's where the Caesars are. That's where the military is. That's where, that's the center of paganism. And we have heard about your church. The whole world has heard about them. And oh, how I can't wait to get there to see you. He wanted to go to Rome, verse 11 and 12. "For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." Verse 13, "And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you." And he goes on, "In order that I might obtain some fruit among you, even as among the rest of the Gentiles." I have something to offer to you. You have something to offer to me. My desire is to go to Rome. My plans are to go even unto Spain. But God said no. God denied it. God did not give Paul what he wanted when he wanted it. Not even the Apostle Paul. And some of you think, why doesn't God give me what I want when I want it? God puts hindrances sometimes in our way. And we don't get what we want. We don't get what we have planned to obtain. And God so shakes us up sometimes that we end up in a totally different place, a totally different area, in a totally different circumstances than we had ever conceived in our minds. Paul uses the phraseology in verse 13, "And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far." Hindered. The word in the original Greek comes from the same word that is used for the word chastise. It's like God has said, no, I don't like it. I want to come. But I've been prevented, providentially hindered. Christians, especially young Christians, if it was true with Paul, it may well be true with you. And let me tell you something. You need to be adaptable. You need to be adaptable. You should make plan A. Paul did. Paul had his plans. This is what I plan to do in the future. This is where I plan to be in 5 years, in 2 years, in 3 years. Paul made his plans. So should you. But you should also make alternate plans. B, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E. Knowing that God has His own plan called plan F. And that's ultimately what's going to happen in your life. Because what you think is best may not be God's will for your life. And God may put hindrances in your way. God may put a block wall in your way. God may even hit you on the head with a hammer. You know, some people hate uncertainty. Most of us do, I think. Some people have the rest of their life all planned out in a neat little package. I've known some men, some young men, who knew, thought they knew, who they were going to marry, when they were going to marry, how many children they're going to have, where they're going to live and where they're going to work. I'm going to go to a certain college. I'm going to get married when I'm 25. I'm going to have two children. Not one, not three, not four, two. I'm going to retire at 55. I'm going to die at 78. Everything's planned out. I've got it all planned out. When I retire at 55, according to the statistics, I'll have enough money in my 401k to live 35 and a half years. It's all planned out. Everything's taken care of. And there's a sense in which we say, some people say, don't mess with my schedule. If you do, I'll go ballistic. You know people like that? I have to have everything in a neat little box. Don't mess with my box, Lord. Don't put any hindrances in my way. Paul says, I want to go to Rome. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to Spain. And God says, Paul, no, you're not. At least not right now. Notice how Paul handles that. You know, that's not easy to handle. You know, I didn't get what I planned to get. You know, there's a scholarship at the college that I wish my son or my daughter would have gotten, and it would have paid everything, but you know what? They didn't get it. Now I've got to come up with the money. It didn't work out. How does Paul handle that? I want to go to Rome. I want to be there. You know, pragmatically speaking, there's so much I can offer to you. There's so much you can offer to me. How can God prevent that? I mean, this is for the advancement of the kingdom. How can God say no? Well, He will. On many occasions, He will say no. And how does Paul handle that? He says in verse 10, he handles it very well, as you would expect him to. Always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. If by the will of God, if it's according to God's will, I will come. But if God hinders me, that's His will, and I will not come. You see, hindrances come from God. They're not by chance. The other day, a house I own that we have renters, and we've had a lot of hindrances. When you have rental property, you have to deal with a lot of hindrances. And so they call me on the telephone and say, we got termites. Okay, Johnny on the spot, and call the termite company and get this taken care of. And And I asked the serviceman for the termite company, why does this happen to me? Why don't I always have all the termites in the world live at my house? And he says, well, sometimes it's just the luck of the draw. Que sarah, sarah, you know. Well, I don't believe it's the luck of the draw. It's by God's will. Even those termites. We're going to take care of them. God's put a hindrance in my way, but we're going to take care of them. By faith, Paul learned that if God puts a hindrance in his way, it was God's will, and it was for his good in the long run. And I can accept that, and I can live in peace. All things work together for good. Now, this is the same Paul that later on says, you know, this is the Paul that said, all things work together for good for those who love God, who have been called according to His purpose. And that's the same Paul that writes in verse 1, I wish I could come. I have been prevented. God said no. That's the same Paul who said, everything has a purpose in God's mind and God's eyes. Someday you may see that. Someday you may wake up and say, well, I can see why God put a hindrance in my life. Then it'll be much easier. It's like a Monday morning or Sunday morning quarterback. You know, once you can look back and see why, you can understand. It's easy to see clearly after it's over. Why did God hinder me in this? Why did God put me in this city rather than that city, that job rather than that job, and that job? And my answer is, someday you may see. Someday you may understand, and someday you may thank God that He put a hindrance in your way. Think about it for a moment. Think about if Paul had been allowed by God to go to Rome. I want you to think about it just a second. What would have happened? You know what would have happened? Looking at it from a human perspective. If Paul had gone to Rome, there would have been no need for him to write the epistle to the Romans. There would have been no book of Romans. Thank God he didn't let him go to Rome. Thank God he kept him where he did, where he was forced to write this epistle. Thank God for hindrances. I would pose a question to you. Where would the church be today? Where would Western culture be today without Paul's epistle to the Romans? Would not the Bible be incomplete? What if God had not hindered Paul and the church had never had his letter to the Romans? How much poverty theologically would we be in today? Because Paul was hindered by God, because Paul did not get what he wanted, because God did not allow Paul to go to Rome until the latter days of his life, we have today this great and wonderful book called the Epistle to the Romans. Do you understand the import of that book? Because the church was given the book of Romans, a man by the name of Martin Luther in 1517 would read Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, and that verse and that man through that book would change the whole world, the whole Western culture, and change the church and was the birth of what we today call the Protestant Church. Out of which it could be argued, and I would argue, was the birth of Western culture. Certainly the America that we now call the United States of America. Because when those Puritans came, they carried the whole Bible. Part of that Bible, and a critical part of that Bible, was the Epistle to the Romans. Paul, I've got something better for you. You can go to Rome and impart a few gifts. But I've got another plan for you, and a plan for the kingdom, and a plan for the church. I'm going to keep you here. You're going to write a letter, and this letter is going to impact the whole world. Paul didn't see that. Paul didn't understand that. I can't understand why God won't let me come, so I'm going to sit down and write you a letter. To that little church in Rome. That little church in Rome, which had the book of Romans, the Epistle of Romans, which eventually conquered the Roman Empire. That little small group, you know, that meets there by themselves, receive this letter in the midst of this great pagan empire all over the world, and through the aid of this letter, God's Holy Spirit, this little group of people, their faith, their beliefs would conquer the whole empire. Europe and America. Paul, you can't go to Rome. You can't go to Rome. I've got something better. I'm glad that Paul was hindered, aren't you? Thank God for hindrances. Thank God that sometimes He directs our paths in different ways than what we had planned. Because, you know, that's not the best way for us. God has something better for us. Think about Joseph, who was sold into slavery. Think about the grief of his father, who had plans for him. His favorite son, I've got plans for him. God has put a hindrance in my plans. And now he's been sold into slavery in some far country, far away. I don't even know where it is. And I don't know why God's done that. I mean, doesn't God love me? Doesn't God care for me? Doesn't God love family? How can God break up a family like this? And then think about 430 years later of thousands and thousands of Israelites coming out of Egypt by the power and the testimony of God against Pharaoh and all the power of all the Egyptians to make his testimony that I am the Lord God Almighty. Why did that happen? Because God hindered the plans of Joseph and his father. Don't gripe. God has a bigger plan. And it was Joseph himself who said to his brothers, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." My wife and I were in England last year. We had several choices to make of what places we would visit. We had a choice of Oney, which is the town where John Newton served and wrote Amazing Grace. And as we were going to Oney, there was another sign that said Bedford, you know, about 20 kilometers this way, and I thought, Bedford, I've heard that name somewhere. Bedford Prison. That's where John Bunyan was in prison. Why didn't we go there? We're so poor. I mean, there's so many places to see. John Bunyan was in prison. That was not probably John Bunyan's desire. That was a hindrance. Why wouldn't it be much better if John Bunyan could go out and preach the gospel freely all over England? Wouldn't that have been a better option in the mind of God? No, not at all. What came out of Bedford Prison? Pilgrim's Progress came out of Bedford Prison. And if John Bunyan had never been in Bedford Prison, John Bunyan may have never written Pilgrim's Progress, which has been one of the greatest pieces of literature, not only in the realm of the Christian faith, but in the realm of all literature itself. Think of the effect that little book has had on children in the world, not only children, but adults. Why? Because John Bunyan was in prison, which was not the preference that John Bunyan had. But God knows best. And God puts hindrances in our lives for a purpose. And if you're a child of God and God puts a hindrance in your life, you're going to have to get to the point where you say, well, it's the will of God. Make your plans. Young people, make your plans. Go ahead and work out your schedule. You know, I'm going to such and such a school. I'm going to get married at such and such age. I'm going to marry him. You know, that one over in the other pew over there. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to marry him. I've got it all worked out. And we're going to have 5 children, ages, you know, 2 years apart. Make your plans, but be adaptable. Because if you're not adaptable, you'll be breakable. You'll break. And remember that we don't always get what we plan. We don't always get what we want. But God is in control of everything, and He'll give you exactly what He wants you to have. That's going to be best for you, and will have an effect maybe after you're dead and generations to come. You may never know. God calls you to marry this man, and he's a Calvinistic Presbyterian. And, you know, finally after 5-10 years, I kind of came over to see what this is all about, and I can't even believe that stuff. And we had 3 kids, and, you know, I died, and they had kids, and from one of those children came this man who became a great preacher in the church and a great teacher that changed the world. You may never know why God put a hindrance in your life, but He did, and He did it for a purpose. When I was 16, I saw that sign that said Bristol that way. I had no idea that I would live in this area. God hindered my plans. God hindered my plans about other callings. You know what? I'm glad He did. God hindered Paul. I'm glad He did. And God may be hindering you today. And if He is, I hope someday you can look back and say, I'm glad He did. Praise God for His goodness and His wisdom. For He Himself knows what is best for us and best for His kingdom. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we confess that we live as Your creatures. We confess that how great is the mystery of God's providence. We confess that we do meet hindrances every day. And yet, our Father, as Your children, help us to have that faith of the Apostle Paul. We make our plans. We hope to come, if it is according to the will of God. And if it is not, then God has a greater blessing. Somewhere down the road, we may see it if by His grace He allows us to do so. Lord, help us to live with such faith and help us to be able to live with hindrances in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.